Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome. This is Angela Atkins of Your Health Unbound. I want to welcome you again to another edition of Nutrition Prescription. And today, my guest is Melissa Lewis. Let me tell you a little bit about Melissa. After earning her BS in Business Administration, Melissa was licensed in the state of Florida as a massage therapist and began working at the Walt Disney World Resort and Spa in 1998. She became a corporate wellness coach for a top 10 Fortune 500 company in 2011. She is dedicated to supporting individuals making healthy behavior changes and supporting their emotional self for a better life. So I welcome you, Melissa, to our podcast.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about mindset for success. That's a great topic. I think everybody knows or should know that before you do anything in your life, you have to have the right mindset. So tell me a little bit about how you work and how mindset falls into being successful.
So your mindset dictates almost every single behavior that you have throughout your day, whether you realize it or not. So when you're in a certain set of expectations, you will behave in that particular way. And all of this personal growth, the habit changes, food changes, trying to make changes to better ourselves, you have to change the habit. And that is difficult for humans to do. We are so focused on default, even though we might read all about it, we might love to make that habit change, but when it comes right down to it in that moment, making that change over and over and over is very difficult. It's very, very difficult.
I agree with you. I always say that in my very first meeting with a client is the most difficult thing you will do is change your mindset.
That's right.
And mindset, as you said, is about habits and they kind of rule our life. So from what I understand, you use small changes to make those habits change. And how are they the key to making yourself happy?
So in my coaching, I can do whatever my client wants, but most people do better when they make a small change because the big change is usually just too traumatic, too difficult, to something. So little changes can help. Like sometimes people are like, oh, I just want to change my whole diet. I want to go on this whole new system. And then 3 days later, they cave. And then they feel bad. And part of that is knowing yourself. You know, most people can't do the big change. Some people can. But if you make these little changes, then your body and your mind have time to adjust to it so you can handle the next step.
So it's about taking the first step, being successful, and then building on it.
That's usually what works for most people.
Right. I get it.
They cannot anticipate how difficult the big change is. They just can't. The feeling part of it and the thinking part of it are on two separate pages. And that's what most people can do, small changes first.
So are you like me when I have a client? Now, my focus is mostly nutrition. So they have those big goals. I want to lose X number of pounds. I want to do this. I want to do that. Do you break them down into smaller goals, more manageable chunks, and then they are the ones that you work on as creating new habits? Is that what you're looking at?
Yes. And I tend to go a lot into the background of why you have the habit you have now. And why you want to change it. I do a lot of why talking because a lot of people need that why. Because when it comes to the hard part again, they need something to go back on to say, why am I doing this again? Why don't I just do the easier thing? What was the whole reason I decided to set myself up for something that's very challenging? So we do a lot of why talking first, and then we go through the goals. And then part of why I think I'm successful as a coach is I use a lot of intuition. I listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it to decide, is this really a goal that person will probably follow through with, or are they being overly optimistic? I have a very good intuition doing that after all of the people that I coached.
So using your intuition, are you able to help people determine when their goals are actually not suited for them?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, can you give me an example of what you would do? I've not actually heard coaches say that they're able to tell when the goals aren't suited for their client.
Sure. So it would all depend. And if it is a nutrition goal, you know, if I hear a person say they've never changed their diet before, and I, of course, will ask a lot of open-ended questions about what changes they've made in the past, and then they are going to go full throttle. They're going to make all their own food. They're going to start maybe in 2 weeks, and they are not going to have any help. I'm going to ask a lot more questions about other times in their lives when they've made a big change. I'm going to ask, you know, who else is going to help you, or a lot of different things, because a lot of people are all gung-ho right in the minute, but when it comes down to it, they still won't do it. So I'm sort of here to help people detect that within themselves and then help offer different ideas of how we might get to that goal in the smaller pieces. It all depends on the person. That's why you can't just look something up or read a book and do it, because every single person is different.
That's so true. That is very true. And I think that comes down to your concept of being, of having self-awareness. So if I understand from what I've read, is that self-awareness is equivalent to clearing the fog in the window of your life. Now, that's a great thing to have a quote. So, but can you expand on that?
Absolutely. So self-awareness is, it's really about a fog that you have in front of you that you think you are, but everybody else around you has a different perspective and view of you. So there really is no I am this, because we always keep changing, but it's really important to know, like, how am I versus the person on my right, the person on my left, the family members. We're all just so different and unique that when you can see yourself and know yourself, know how do I normally react in situations, what are my default patterns, and how do I make productive changes that actually stick? What actually makes me motivated or forces me into it? Some people go, I'm positive, but very few people make positive changes for positive reasons. It's just not how human nature works.
So what you're saying is having self-awareness doesn't necessarily mean being positive. It's more about being realistic of what's in your life.
Absolutely. And I also wrote an article about this particular topic about positivity, and everybody's pushing it, which is a great idea to stay positive as much as you can. But you need authenticity, because if you're faking it 80% of the time, that's not positive. Your body knows you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, I think positivity can only be true if you really come from that deep inside of yourself. If you're using it as a mask, if you're saying, hey, I'm being really positive, I'm being upbeat about it, but inside things are churning, it doesn't get you where you need to be. So your self-awareness concept is very true, that you have to be aware that your moods, your reactions, your responses, they're all authentic, or else you don't get the result that you want, whether it's your goal or a relationship or whatever.
Absolutely. And the way our society works, we color other people's lives with our interactions. So even though we think, oh, this is what I really want to be, you've been brought up in one place with a society that acts a certain way. There's no way you can just not be influenced by your outside perspective. There's just absolutely no way, because that's what we grow up with. That's what we see every single day.
So do you have them do an exploration of that, of their, maybe their biases that they're not even aware of?
They will come up in the coaching. So I don't really start with that exploration, because that's why we need a goal to start with. You need some area to start with. And then when I ask the questions, I start seeing the person's habits, how they react to the questions, what are they answering, and how is that going to affect them with the goal? Because if you do the whole self-exploration, most people don't even pay attention to that, because they're not working on a goal. So they kind of, it's like they care, but they don't really care. They're like, so what does that mean? So when you work with a habit change and then do self-exploration around that, it tends to make more sense to people, because they're actively working on a goal. They're actively creating those neural pathways, and then they will see how that affects them in the other areas of their life. So
that's all right. So what I heard you say is that they'll be able to apply it in other areas of life. So once you learn it for a goal, that is something that they're more easily to be able to adopt in other aspects of their life.
Absolutely. So anytime you make any sort of change with anything in any area, you can take what you learned and what you know from that area and put it into another area. So sometimes people think the change is going to be really hard, but when you pull on what have you been successful with in the past, how have you made a different hard change? Because a lot of people don't relate, oh, I changed jobs with, oh, I'm going to change my diet. There are a lot of foundational concepts that are exactly the same to those changes.
And how do you address that when working with a client? Do you actually point that out as they go through and say, hey, we had this discussion about this, and it seems to apply to this other area also? And are they able to make that recognition and move forward with it?
Yes, and absolutely this is where the expertise in coaching comes through, is you are noticing how a person makes a change. You're hyper aware to how and what they're saying and how they're doing it. So if you have them go back into the job change, and what did they do in the difficult situation? What did they do during that really hard time of change? What was going in their mind? And it does. It tends to connect the dots in their mind. And they're like, oh, so that's how I should do and feel in the new situation.
So when they open the key to one portion of their goals or habits, they're much more able to apply that elsewhere. But is it something that you find that as they go through that actually alters their goals or expands their goals?
Oftentimes it does. Oftentimes it does. And when I did coach for a corporation, people would come in with one goal. I would say half the time the goal changed to something else, honestly. But that thing that they changed did ultimately lead them to get to the goal, just in a different route.
That's interesting. So do you see differences in a corporate setting as opposed to an individual coming to see you?
Well, in my corporate setting, I only got to talk to people for about 15 to 20 minutes, and they couldn't really set up how they wanted things to go. That's why I love coaching my own clients, because we can just mold everything to what they're doing. And a lot of life coaches or any kind of coach, they coach off a particular model, and I don't. I personalize everything to the person that I'm working with. For me, it's just easier because I don't have to shove them in a box. I can just work on exactly what they want to work on, when they want to work on it, and it actually goes quicker.
Obviously, that's why we connected, because I am exactly the same way. I call my coaching personalized coaching. So anytime someone comes to me, no matter what it is that they're coming for, whether it's to get off medications, to lose weight, for some chronic illness or whatever, I don't say, this is the pat answer. It's all dependent upon the person. And I think you hit the key there, that in a corporate world, it may be more difficult to personalize because you're either constrained by what the corporation wants you to do, or the person feels constrained being in a corporate environment. But when they are as an individual coming for coaching, they're more open to revealing themselves. Do you see that?
Absolutely. And that is what I truly love about coaching, is because I like to connect deeply with people, and I'm very good at it after all the years that I've done it with massage and coaching. I mean, I spend a lot of my time one-on-one with people, whether in a dark room with them on a table or in a coaching situation, and they can just feel from me that I am very non-judgmental. It doesn't matter what you're saying to me. I am basically like the technical person to look at what your level of awareness and perception is and move you to the place that you're trying to get to without judging. Because a lot of people feel judgment on it every single day, all day long.
Yeah, I think that's really important to feel that this is a no judgment zone, that no matter what you say or what you feel, what you bring to the table, first off, it stays in confidentiality. And secondly, it is received openly. So I think as a coach, and I would think almost every coach feels the same way, you want your client to know that there's mutual trust, that you trust them as much as they trust you. And so bringing this openness is going to help them, and it's going to help you help them, because you're going to be able to reach in and find what they're trying to get out, and then they'll relax more into it and bring it out more naturally.
Yeah, there is a piece of us inside that kind of wants to hide that thing from coming out. We don't realize we're trying to self-sabotage ourselves, but we really are. Somewhere down in there, we probably are, if we can't make a change and get to a goal. And it can be very difficult and scary for people to get way down into that feeling and feel what that is to bring it back out.
Do you think self-sabotage comes from our upbringing, religious beliefs, some sort of niggling thing that we always just have innately in ourselves? Where does that self-sabotage seem to come from? Where do you see it?
I think it can come from anything. Like you said, it can come from religion. It can come from society. It can come from your family, or it can just come from your own distorted view of what your reality is.
And that's an excellent point. Distorted view of your own reality. How do people get there? I mean, have you seen enough of it that you can say that external things are causing people to have this distorted reality?
I mean, you will believe anything that you really want to believe, right? So if you really want to believe things should be one way and everyone around you is telling you like this is the way to go, like how we used to think calories were everything, people have a really hard time busting out of that. Even when you say, well, you've done it and it doesn't seem to be working. It's very, very difficult. So that's why we need that connection, that openness with your coach for them to really finally let go and say like, okay, maybe I could be wrong with that idea in my mind.
That's interesting. I've actually not heard somebody say that before, a distorted perception of your own reality. That is a great way to couch how sometimes people come to us, because I get the same thing. You know, I've done all the right things, and then they tell you what they've done and you're like, no, you know, that may be what you think it is, but it isn't the real way to do things. And that's it. You have to change your mindset. You have to reimagine what your reality is, and you've got to absolutely absorb it before before you can have anything come to fruition.
Absolutely. And I think having the mindset of what could be the solution is very, very effective for people, because they want to default to what works before. But as you and I know, especially with diet and nutrition, as you get older, they don't realize your internal body and the way everything works inside of you changes. And people just have a really hard time understanding that. They just really do.
I get it. I tell my clients it's about evolution. I mean, we're constantly evolving. What worked for me 10 years ago may not work for me now. And I went through my own personal health crisis. I mean, about a dozen years ago, I went through having fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and then I was diagnosed with celiac disease. And what worked for me then was very drastic, and I had to make all these changes and get my mind wrapped around eating and living a new way. And once I did, I felt better and I felt great. But then as I got older, other things in my life changed. I mean, you go through, especially women, going through hormonal changes, you know, you hit menopause. Things change drastically. People don't realize that also can change your nutrition. It can change your, you know, the nutrients that you actually need to take in. So people have to be willing to accept change as an ongoing way of life. You don't just hit one point, make one change, and it's done forever. It's a constant evolution.
It is a constant evolution. And as you get older, what I have noticed is that these changes do have to be a little bit more forceful to work. You actually have to try a little bit harder for most of them as you get older. And people, they don't want to believe that when they're like, okay, I'll make a change, it's already hard. But I mean, I don't bring that up because that's not really helpful in the moment. But somewhere down the line, that conversation usually comes up like, well, I used to do this and get all this change. And I'm asking, well, when was that? And they're like 20 years ago. And I'm like,
Well, don't you think that in those intervening years, other things have happened many times in their mind. They've put up other things and they become those roadblocks in their mind, that's why it's a little bit harder, because they've had all those additional years of cultural, societal, whatever, you know, their external environment in their head, that then makes it a little harder to change what their norm is. And then changing that norm is scarier because you've gotten so used to it.
Absolutely. And the types of changes that you and I both talk about are not ones that are generally considered average in normal society. Like changing your diet like that, I've talked to people whose doctors have told them to do that, and they're like, well, that's just not realistic. You know, for a lot of people, that's not within their range of what is normal mindset. So, but then you look on social media and you see these people with drastic either emotional or health or some kind of change. What you can't see is how much that person changed that scope of what their average is.
Yeah, a lot of times the things you see on TV, you only see the interesting, money type shot thing. You know, they're going through this struggle. They're working really hard. Like, you know, they have all this exercise routine and that's really a hard struggle. And you're thinking, oh, I can't do that. Well, that's one component they did. They don't realize all that mental work that they've done, all the planning that goes into it. You know, there's a lot of processing behind that. So it's not just, oh, they were on the treadmill for an hour and that would just kill me. Well, maybe that's not for you.
Right.
So get that out of your head. What somebody else does is not what you need to do. What you need to do is figure out what blocks you have and then overcome them. Because I believe what you have stated before is that your mindset blocks are hidden in whatever you fear or avoid.
Of course.
So if you fear or avoid it, they're going to block you from doing it. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So we all have fears, even if we don't actually call them fears. We all have reasons we don't act in according to what logically we think we should. So we have these fears and they're blocking us, and we want to hide the fears too. So we want to sort of deny them and push them away because that's not what is in our range of normal and average for ourselves. Because it's so scary to have to look at yourself a different way. A lot of people, there's a lot of fear to look at, oh my gosh, maybe I am really that different than the other people. I've just been kind of assimilating into what their normal is. But that's where the most empowerment can come from, because when you realize you are a little bit different in a different way, but you can use that to your advantage, that's when the openness and the success comes.
Yep, accept your idiosyncrasies, because that's what makes you you. And to me, that's what the people around you who want to be with you, whether it's your loved ones, your friends, whatever, they want you to be you. They don't want you to be like everybody else, because what attracted them to you is your uniqueness. And I think people have difficulty embracing that.
Absolutely. Because again, we as a society value longtime friends, positive family interactions. We value all of these things that if you're really a growing person, you won't probably have a lot of the same or all of the same friends, unless you're all still stuck at one level. If you want to move past the level, there are things that are just going to drop out of your life that aren't going to suit you. And it's not a bad thing. So right. That people are scared by that because they look everywhere and say, well, society tells me I should get along with my family just great. And okay, let's fake it so I can do that. Or whatever it is that you've learned as you've grown up or you've seen it all over the media.
And I think what I have found personally, and I'm certain you found it in your coaching, is people who try to get through life faking it wind up with more than just blocks. They've actually closed themselves off. And I really feel that until you get rid of other people's expectations of yourself and just allow yourself to be you, you really don't make those changes. Your mindset True. Is really blocked.
Or you change them and then many years later you realize, oh my God, I changed that for somebody else. And then you realize you've spent all this time putting all this work and energy into life that's not really even yours. And a lot of people will get angry at that.
And you know what? Maybe that's good that they get angry, because maybe that will be the catalyst to get them back to who they were. I mean, I'll admit it. I years and years ago, I had the same, you know, in a relationship, you change for that person and then you realize, oh my God, I'm not being me. I'm trying to be what they want me to be. And it causes, for me, it causes great turmoil internally. And when you realize that you're going through this turmoil that's unnecessary, you really need to say, okay, what's better for you? Having a relationship that forces you to be someone else, or just go off by yourself and be yourself? And I think when you come to terms with it, then you realize change isn't that difficult. It's just accepting the new reality and moving forward. I think most people are afraid of changing the status quo, no matter what it is, even if it's bad for you. So if you could give our listeners one piece of advice that would help them with breaking through a mindset block or making that one change they really need to change, what is the first thing or what is the one thing you would offer them?
I would say to think about courage and being brave, because that is deep down what it's going to take for you to make a change. You got to be brave enough to follow through or have the courage to stand out and be a little bit different than you were before.
And so those who don't feel they have that courage, they can contact someone like you.
Absolutely.
Who can help them find deep within them that courage, that bravery. And because of that, you are offering a 20-minute life coaching consultation as a complimentary offer to our listeners. And I think that's wonderful. For anybody who wants to talk to Melissa and break through those mindset blocks There'll be a link with this podcast. You can click through and get right to Melissa. And I would say, don't waste another minute. It really is important. You have to break through your mindset blocks, or you can't get to where you want to go. So for me, if I had a client that said, you know, I'm really having trouble with mindset and I couldn't get them to the other side where they could deal with their nutrition, I'd send them off to Melissa and say, do your magic. And when they realized that what she was working with was something very concrete within the person themselves, and then they could come back to me and do their nutrition stuff. And believe me, that's how we work as coaches. We work with each other collaboratively. And I applaud you, Melissa, for dealing in that very complex and a scary area for a lot of people, dealing with mindset. Not a lot of people want to go there. So
For me, it is a complete joy, and it makes me happy to be able to dig into that place.
That's awesome. Well, again, I want to say click through the link and get your 20-minute complimentary life coaching consultation with Melissa. And I think we could talk forever because we have so much in common here. But I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast with me, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it as well.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining in on another Nutrition Prescription episode. Join me over at Your Health Unbound. Until next time, this is Angela Atkins.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.